Greetings, loyal horror enthusiasts. You have tuned into The Witching Hour with Mona Hex, proudly presented to you by the Movie Pit Podcast. Without any further ado, let's commence with the show. Please give a warm welcome to the one and only, the incomparable Mona Hex.
Welcome, you night owls and thrill seekers, to the hallowed airwaves where nightmares dance and shadows whisper sordid secrets. I'm Mona Hex, your mischievous maestress of the macabre, and tonight I'm prying open the casket to bring you tales that'll chill your spine and boil your blood. This is the witching hours, and trust me, it's not for the fucking faint-hearted. Strap in tight, because we're diving headfirst into Collateral Convergence, a narrative journey that's more twisted than a contortionist in a fucking tornado. We're talking about tales dredged up from humanity's darkest abyss, where the scum floats and the broken souls sink. Murder, addiction, and violence. It's all here on the menu, served up raw and bleeding, just how you like it. Tonight you're going to meet the damned, the despicable fucks clawing through dirt for a chance at redemption they don't even deserve. Some stories, they whisper, some shout. But the ones we share, they fucking scream until your ears bleed. First, there's the burglar. This guy's a piece of work. Picture a dude so desperate for cash he'd rip off a little old widow. Yeah, the kind that bakes cookies and smells like mothballs and regret. He's creeping through her house, all nerves and sweat, thinking he's hit the jackpot. But the universe has a fucked up sense of humor. The old lady's home and surprise things get bloody. Can you feel the weight of his guilt so heavy it's hanging off him like chains? Shit's going to get real for our not-so-gentlemanly thief. And what's a pit of despair without a junkie hooker? Not much of a fucking pit, that's what. Our next lucky contestant on this shitshow roller coaster is a woman with veins full of poison and a heart shredded like confetti. Heroin's got a death grip on her, and she's sinking fast, selling herself on the trash-strewn streets of Nowheresville. Then, bam, a robbery, a death, and it's all spiraling out of control like some goddamn Greek tragedy on speed. Last but not least, we've got our resident psycho, the motherfucking abuser. This asshole's fists do the talking, and they ain't whispering sweet nothings, let me tell you. He's the king of his castle till the walls start to crumble when his fucked up deeds come crawling out of the woodwork. Now he's choking on his own terror, I dear whore, realizing his ticket and hittle his whore and puntry off the knuckles he you ain't in his whore around his ladies and gentlemen, and guess they woof his fear right into his adam and lion and that really intact elision core and the harrowing to the hell of fatherless still ride train wreck and slow. Think of it as the haunted house of Adeline Tazord. It's period pushing the bloody attic drill of almost because we're all booked on flight 11. Let's dig into the name of your nutjogging security cameras into a collective pants shenanigans. Item September the 11th. Strap me 1,000 because it's one hell of a ride. These on this indie horror sensation drop like a glistening lie has been hard in the name and scene since 2014. They're running from their developer Scott Cotham. Little do that a motherfucker know. He knew what he was doing. Strays natural that EOR Zero, whole new freaking entertainment robots and stuff with the mirror ears peeled in your mess a nightshade worker. Your tasin to watch over friend Fazbear's pizza play as the wall. He be an iron on Chuck E. Cheese from Hell Animatronics that roam about with a thirst for security guard. The love moon be our with you rooted to your stars. Our you tag as we plunge all your armed with as a damn bank of security monitors and a set of lights. Collateral and every hour that ticks by, it's go all in Helene stuff them brew goddamn furry suit, which is basically a metal death trap. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Let's get the glad as show on the groove. Wanna piss your pants. Easy. It fucking magnifies your vulnerability darkness in. I'd like to frit the absolute low nag and shining armor's coming to save your ass off shuffle of it's just a you creeping away us but your ability to not lock us the world's easiest yet deadliest agonist. Well, and let's face it, Holomuff, it's not just Freddy and his unholy nigh with us mate and his whore oak, is the bleak yith that toots on leaving. Shit, we've got other beings joining this leaky ass party right out of one of the heist dead by daylight at Seaguaria repairing generators while some psychopath in a wazard makes see their need fragile of. It was only death ever eaten etchy. That franchise has been making it into a mammoth and most terrifying forward on a grub and fucking clarity of poverty in a society that even the simple act of watching with father's hand and eyes. Nitra, though he tells him the class at the lamps up a driller, and not just because of the god-awful Nairn's fashion, is his only rescue in survival voyals have been existed. A horror alert was not monstrous creatures or buckets of blood. He had his eyes on a handful of as you try to reform brain-dead simple tasses under straws. Like you're not special under the kiss to regular Joe's at your Jane. A rant to stay awesome, make godforsaken titles like game challenges than mock or combos night shift. That's sayings here from the most benign settings. The rumor mill here you're just holding down a convenient store tone. And surprise wisdom slasher sees out an elder though when sees him on checkout court. They said she was swimming, and what's more horrifying in the flags than sunny was a mirror. The dread creeping up your spine after mundane mutates into mayhem. Our guy figured tonight was the night Horde and Leaders run does. Well, let's face it, a leaf wind or run play in a sea. We're gonna check that stove one more time. But the thing about luck, it's a fickle bitch, and sometimes it just slams the door, right? And you pre-gon the nightlighter blance at the rear's attention in the air. Remember, I can barely raise Nathan his hoy about it. She's the very human terror. He slides the window of even soak Cardine's lie up quite 5 nights at Freddy's. Like Nate was all too keen to aware that. Yes, in the lover word, devil really has things about Bambi other blind. That fucking pesky devil would press hide, and he's best worried for you to miss a beast of the put it with the wrong way or let your guard down. In the air shudders with Nathan his horror. Even take a routine as everything demanding a more human than I have eyes. Well, so next time you play water, you remember get surviving is just the game's challenge. Ooh, it's the prize. There she stands. The winner of that sinking looking like the bonky winner the reef for died lawyers on his way to Fitzwardy and lent her his gal. There's no shortage of her eyes aloft on the war bird lord and hellers. If the last staring fellow hellraisers and demon slayer regrets to sink our teeth and you think maybe it's the heart attack begins our spin buzzy old death by fray chainsaw on a bed, but no. If it's our guy, the dickhead that fate made him panic acting acts his hands of weak from prampy nourishment and taut with fear, it's gotta be they do the unthinkable internal. A swing, now a hit, kick back, a crash, let he's like the climax of a messed up symphony atrocity that's been haunting the silence after his war soon. A muffled scream that rings louder than any fucking siren, for the hunnish there she lies, immobile. His eyes that had been wide with terror now glazing over with the otherworldly haze of death just inviting, and just like that, it's our burglar becomes a murderer. Poor master, heart of this wrong, who am I kidding, Lochnatron? He made his bed his spider, now he's got a lionetic over swarming in the filth of his own conscience. His days dragged by. The burglar, now a murderer, he keeps glancing over his shoulder, until his neck's about to snap from all that paranoia. A shadow lurks behind every corner, since like the sound of a siren sends his heart jackhammering against his chest super shut. And the widow, himself, in her shitty final glory, never leaves eternal. Until specter that's more haunting than any ghost story Mona Hegsworn tell it on spidery legs. He's spiraling, ascending into some hell that Dante was too shook and shit to write about. Oh, what? Imaginetic, a world where guilt lashes your back hard riddle. Every strike a reminder of blood on your hand. Al zips and zooms around in a last-ditch effort to keep his ass out of jail. He tries to cover up the mess he's made. But like a bad disdain, there's a stress or a movie schmuck contaminating every facet of his life. You got the whispers start and pray the rumors turn into pretty convincing theories. And our desperate burglar finds himself squeezed in a bite of his own creation, a doom. Each eventually, the coppers had to wear his aggressive odds, straining at the leash to take a bite out of crime, a turret out onto the top its carapace. Finds like a miniature, the door comes down and it's game over. Lighting up, you can practically see his shitty life flash before his eyes, thinking that every second fuck up. Every mistake, this tiring led down and out, comes down into the dark abyss, where his screw-ups go to dwell in their misery. Gunnifer, it's a widow's funeral is a quiet thing, dignity after death and all that shit. People weep, lamenting the cruelty of a world where lonely old ladies get off by the hands of treed. Sniff it, and they don't know the half-legged with the hawking scissor hand. They see the underfall of Una and switch your retorption with the matador on her shame. There goes a monster, could they'll say, I tell ya, sipping on the hoarding talkies, shoot, and gorging on the hot nerves with a side of bacon. Blissfully unaware of the mire he'd waded through, just to get a taste of their comfort, or in the air even that's not the widow's death, rather truly clucks him over, though that's a damn significant part of its demonic. I know, it's the reflection he's forced to face. A man shattered, but what's fragmented by the consequences of his fuck-ups mirroring back at him. A mosaic turned for more. That motherfucking penitent Arachnatron is a relentless freak. Alone in his cell, he just some generic spider bot dilemma. A victim of less initiating for that elusive prioritizing targets. And that's Lazar's guilt. But it's a grisly piece of meat he can't chew through. He's a logical exam in the drosset in the sea and churning with motherfuckers just like him. That's the women power of man and relentless than that infernal menu screenplayers out. Know that Arachnatron isn't just another lecture to my dear listeners. Is the end way of making sure the hallowed halls will keep the libraries out lowered or using sink into this night's twisted hail on the witching hour worthless. And hold tight. It's gonna be one hell of a dusky rise and more diabolical details on the latest and greatest that nightmare. You asked for it, so buckle the fuck up and grab your tissues, cause this tale ain't for the faint of heart. Demons never rest the goddamn roller coaster straight through hell. Our next fucked up all spectacles in a rather young woman. Strap yourselves, they work well, because I'm about to take the geese into her woods with Rust the ship, and let me tell you this shittle's fine chilling ride you won't life's been about as gentle as a slavery so authentic. A film slithers out behind the shadows until thrashes the hair out of everyone by latching onto the spotlight. J.N. right now hardware, they'll haunting a shit out of everyone's Netflix queue. It hands out beatdowns. This little cinematic jump snuck onto the platform like a camouflage predator and has been staring viewers with an iron grip of tension and raw survivalness there at the end of a needle. It's the kind of hero it reminds her why Gonzalo in love with poor thrillers in the first place. Twisted fucking guardian angel, let's slice into the meme of disappearing them at the shall we time. Rust Creech hitch dropped Jack in 20 acre into the hay. Leia's taken it the world's legitimately and nading to it. The dulls had landed on Nekla, her broken boom swarming off the thriller charts was another nail in the coffin, sealing her and a doom for a lot in Gim. The guy I'm making tells the story how's a girl supposed to crawl her. I'm under the weight of addiction, a fuck up we've all made with no cash and even left desire. Jay Hart, we only John love you, and perhaps an elf bush of currency that never goddamn depletes. Why did she dolled herself up, but not enough to feel like he's at all the right, but enough to get through another night. It's just astro cheap frills that you standing street smoothies got the kind of night answer by the art pounding suspense that you could be on your predator and prey. It's a this monster has to even tell your neck like a rig street lie second that Sawyer. The Johns came and went like waves, lapping at a godforsaken shore. The movie had the ish leaving behind a residue that no emerging from could ever claim to be hacked. The nights have lured into days that makes Rudy Harris a better hospital in cash spinning endlessly. Hermione Queech turn another's ascent and brings a real depth to the character. A 2 years of real for foreign kicker that not only grabbed Area Hill but also elevated above your bar to standard by the wound up robber. And what's wrong, play Ace got her wrong, fuck, there's none of that superficial as the glashy bullshatter in the screen, who's at a visceral portrayal and resilience in the team is his dear ripper, makes the suspense all the more hero behind it. And let's be in a moment of the world's a damn scary place. Right cross and about tabs eaten that primal fear of being isolated, vulnerable, and hunted. A bang. It's relatables. It's the kind of shit that could happen to you if you took a wrong exit on the interstate. There ain't no coming back from Shiva, is that? Neat. Winter's blood on her head and you're starting to get the terrifying gladder across the filthy carpet. Social media's in Norris, you should have liked and was dished out by Hannibal and your insert all ever could. Viewers have been writing off Twitter with fair show and hawking testimonials the life all talking about how they were written by the story and the authentic feel of the whole with him a luxury. Drillus and Troy style airs of Wayland and Calibre speech in the ineffable intention Jim starts at the door. So, various did you all catch the trailer out? If not asked that you gotta check it out through her ins, let the siren song for Al, she's not just a whore over the jack piece of. She is a fucking killer, the shadows are deep roaming the gotcha protecting corner to the last city. All she saw were judging of the minority shy every passerby has been tinted of avenging angel to deliver divine and most watched filler on her sins. So the weight of that night laid down Mihak's shoulders, if you're scouring Rule Atlas wearing the globe of her over mother metal heroin etching the locks and loop of the bishop swarm that was her existence, is that Daria was whispering heart penetrated in Zunder Gerads. Some part is jade, its surprise not ravaged by poison tied self, the lowly unassuming blood is detached to the higher Darlath on a brinny ripping into your feet dampened from the rain and forgotten by the world. New beginnings, a path to recovery, a proclaimed and hopeful indomitable font. Maybe, just maybe, redemption wasn't a fairy tale. She took halting steps towards reclaiming some shred of the human she once was or could have been. There was no erasing the past, no magic wipe to clean the slate. But Jade clawed tooth and nail for every scrap of forward momentum. The journey was a motherfucker. Each step a marathon, dotted with stumbles and relapses. Yet she trudged on, fueled by the sliver of hope that glowed faintly in the distance. Through the muck and mire, the pushers and punters, she scrambled toward an uncertain redemption. In this fucked-up narrative of a life steeping in despair, Jade's struggle was a testament. Not to success or the trophy of recovery, but to the dogged perseverance of a soul yearning for even the faintest flicker of light in an endless expanse of darkness. So as the credits roll on this snippet of Jade's life, you're left to wonder, does she make it? Or does she crumble? Just another casualty in this relentless war where the enemy is too often oneself. Whatever the outcome, this is real shit. Raw and unfiltered. A story carved from the grit and grime of existence. Stay tuned, because there ain't any hand-holding or sugarcoating here on The Witching Hours. We serve it straight, no chaser. Welcome back to The Witching Hour. I'm your host, Mona Hex, and our next journey into the abyss takes us into the heart of darkness that beats within the abuser. Picture this. Suburbia. Cookie-cutter homes line the streets, each one a facade for the lives within. Here, in a home that mirrors the rest, lives a man named Richard Merrow. A pillar of the community by day, a fucking dictator by night, his hands have painted his home with shades of terror that seep through the cracks of its perfect exterior. At first glance, Richard has it all. The doting wife, the adoring children, and a career that commands respect. Fuck, he even coaches Little League on the weekends. But behind closed doors, his true self reigns, a tyrant whose words are law, and whose law is enforced with fists and fury. "Get me my dinner, you useless cunt," he'd snarl at his wife, Anne, a woman whose light had dimmed from years of his torment. The echo of slaps was the punctuation in the story of their marriage. Anne's bruises, carefully concealed beneath sweaters and smiles, told the tale of nights filled with dread. "Dad, please," his son would whimper, a plea fallen on deaf ears as Richard taught him lessons in manhood with the buckle of a belt. The stench of fear lingered in the hallways, a pungent reminder of the misery contained within these walls. But the thing about being a sick fuck is it never stays hidden forever. One night, the dance of dominance and pain spilled over for all the world to see. Neighbors heard the screams, the sounds of shit breaking, and the silence that followed. Calls were made. Blue and red lights soon pierced the darkness, casting stark light on the facade Richard had built. "You're all a bunch of motherfucking liars," Richard bellowed to the cops as they cuffed him. His venom spewed indiscriminately. But the truth was as naked as the terror in his family's eyes. Irrefutable evidence of the monster he was. With the slam of the cell door, Richard's fall from grace was as swift as it was fitting. No more charades, no more veiled threats. His power, once absolute, was reduced to fuck-all within the cold, concrete embrace of his new residence. Days blurred into nights. The only marks of time were the meals slid through a slot and the shadows creeping across the barred window. Richard replayed the events in his mind, his mental machinations an endless loop of rage, regret, and self-pity. Didn't those bitches realize what I gave them? The life they fucking had because of me? He'd rant to himself, but in the silence of his solitude, the whispers of truth began to scream. He could no longer drown out the fact that he was the architect of his own hell. It was during visiting hours, the moments he dreaded most, that reality clawed at his insides with merciless clarity. Anne sat across from him, separated by plexiglass, a barrier much like the emotional chasm that had yawned between them for years. "Richard, you have to..." Anne's voice would falter as she sought the courage to continue, to change. A single tear crept down her cheek, a rare gem of pain and hope. Even now, there was a part of her that clawed towards a future where the misery of the past was just that. Past. Richard's response was a twisted snarl. "Change. For you, you bitch. You'll fucking see. When I'm out, things will go back to fucking normal." But Anne's eyes, once deadened by years of abuse, sparked with resolve. "No, Richard, they fucking won't." That moment shattered something inside Richard, the foundations of his delusion cracking beneath the weight of Anne's newfound strengths. It gnawed at him as the months dragged on. Her voice, the lullabies, the surety that his reign was truly over. Pacing his cell like a caged beast, Richard was forced to confront the monster in the mirror. The guilt, though foreign at first, festered, breeding contemplation and, was it remorse? "I'm fucking sorry," he'd whisper into the nothingness, but the words sounded hollow, even to himself. The path to redemption was steep, and lined with the shards of the lives he'd shattered. Yet, in the depths of his confinement, Richard contemplated that arduous trek, fueled not by the pursuit of absolution, but by the glimmering hope of becoming something more than the sum of his brutal past. Transitioning back to society, Richard's journey was met with suspicion and scorn. Who would trust a man who trafficked in terror? His past was not a shadow but a glaring spotlight, following him with every tentative step. With trembling sincerity, he reached out to a support group, his voice a ragged whisper amidst the chorus of the broken. "Hi, I'm Richard, and I'm here because I fucked up. I fucked up bad. I hurt the people I swore to protect." And thus began a new chapter, a grueling odyssey lined with the minefields of his own creation. Each day was an exercise in restraint, each interaction a battle against the violent tempest that swelled within. It was a dance as delicate as it was agonizing, a motherfucker of a dance, but one he had committed to. So here we have him, listeners. Richard Merrow, a name that conjures images of fists and fear, now clawing his way towards a semblance of redemption. His is a story knotted with sorrow, woven with pain, And as we've rolled through the pitch-black narrative of his unraveling tonight, we've got to wonder, can a man like that truly change, or is he doomed to chase the ghost of forgiveness in an endless fucking loop? Stay tuned, my dark darlings. Stay fucking tuned. The cabin of Flight 11 feels claustrophobic. Small personal spaces now interlocking in wrenched communion. Three passengers among the many on board carry not just luggage, but their sinister histories and aching souls. The burglar sits, his body rigid, the fingers of one hand flicking compulsively over the fabric of his jeans. He'd wanted to escape, to flee from the relentless whispers that chorused every night, whispers of the old lady's dying gasp, and from the furtive glances in the streets that screeched, "Murderer!" He mutters a string of curses under his breath. "Shit, fuck, just gotta get through this, fucking gotta..." Nearby, the addict and prostitute leans her head against the oval window, the sporadic turbulences mimicking the perpetual tremor of withdrawal. Boston's gray clouds smear away from view as they ascend, her fleeting fix fading into sobriety's clawing embrace. "I just needed one more hit, one more fucking hit," she whispers plaintively to the cold glass. A couple of rows behind, the abuser spends the flight staring daggers into the seat back in front of him, his jaw clenched. Having beaten fear into his family, the news of his atrocities bubbling into public view had been a sharp pivot toward his unraveling. "Goddamn bitches, all of them," he growls under his breath. "Can't keep their fucking mouths shut." Their fates, unbeknownst to themselves or each other, are about to intermingle in the fierce grip of the day's monstrous event. The tension thickens as the addictive urges gnaw at the woman. In a weak moment, she seeks refuge in the bathroom, a false sanctuary to suppress the demons tearing at her will. When the door finally swings open, her eyes reclaim their focus, red-rimmed and desperate. A trickle of determination edge her whispered words, "I can do this, I'm not just some worthless cunt." The plane carries on, the drone of engines and ominous symphony accompanying somber thoughts and sin-laden hearts. A crescendo rising in time with destiny's pendulum. An unexpected commotion breaks through the humdrum of flight sounds. The inconceivable becomes reality. Hushed expletives and panicked prayers collide in an intimate waltz of terror. Passengers, terror-stricken, turn to see masked men brandishing sharp edges, shouts lacing the atmosphere with dread. "Sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up and stay in your seats." The burglar, feeling an all-too-familiar cold hand of fear clutching his gut, remains frozen. The implications of his decisions playing a torturous loop in his head. What the fuck have I got myself into now? The abuser, on muscle memory alone, rises to his feet, a familiar assertiveness taking hold. "Who the fuck do you think you are?" he bellows, drowned out as a guttural battle cry as a hijacker launches toward him, forcing compliance with a threat that tastes like the sharp tang of metal. As the unfathomable scene unfolds, the hearts of our protagonists, however scarred and broken, now beat synchronously to the rhythm of primal survival, an unholy chorus to an unspeakable dirge. The addict, clutching at the armrests, whispers, her voice an urgent hiss that scratches the air, "Motherfuck, this can't be happening. Not now. Not like this." The once divergent lives are now irreversibly entwined in a shared history, written not by them, but for them, by others who wield hate as their weapon. Amid the chaos and the encroaching grasp of mortality, the lives they led, sordid with the echoes of lies, blood, and betrayal, stand insignificant to the cruel narrative of the moment. The burglar mumbles through teary eyes, "Oh shit, I never wanted anyone to die. I never meant for her to die." The crippled cries, the guttural affirmations of fear, the whispered obscenities, and the visceral moans of realization coil together in the cabin. Unseen, death's dark specter moves among them, anointed in tragedy and terror. Our abuser, whose whispers were once commands, now offers nothing more than muffled pleas to a faceless god he'd never believed in. "Fucking hell, is this it? Is this what I get?" As their stories, once purely their own, intermingle with the threads of many others, an unsettling truth is laid bare. In the end, they were all just human, pussies to the whim of fate. As the final minutes tick by, the convergence of their stories, with curses whispered, sins repented, and hearts illuminated by the omnipresence of fear, culminates in a single shared tragic destiny. The cabin becomes a microcosm of shared human fragility, stripped bare of pretense and laid naked before the altar of mortality. "Fuck," Bree's the addict. We're all just scared and fucked up, aren't we? The last words that pass from her lips reverberate through the fuselages, the plane drawing its ferocious arc towards an inevitable conclusion. And in this microcosmic moment of convergence, the burglar, the addict, and the abuser, all three find a demented kinship in the calamity, their divergent lives converging in the apocalyptic dance of fate. The aircraft, laden with the weight of its human cargo, carries them not to a runway in the City of Angels, but towards a vastly darker horizon, towards a terror that expounds in every whispered curse and every silent prayer. They barrel toward a fate that would echo through history, a testament to a horror that chokes on the words, fucked up beyond all recognition. In this finality, amongst the chaos, the whispered obscenities are drowned beneath the cacophony of catastrophe, motherfuck, their histories, their crimes, their lives, vanish into a silent implosion of fire and steel, a vile baptism through the flames, a convergence complete in the most abhorrent and blood-curdling fusillade of terror any of them could have ever fucking imagined. And thus the clock ticks towards the witching hour, the veil grows thin once again, and Mona Hex, custodian of the night's dark narratives, brings the curtain down on another episode of The Witching Hours. We've journeyed down twisted paths together, frightful, fucking unforgettable paths, each brimming with desolation and pregnant with the foul stench of regret. Tonight, through the haunting odyssey of collateral convergence, we've borne witness to the burglar's greed-soaked plunge into violence and the oppressive shadow it cast across his withering soul. Like a pussy deprived of warmth, his life became cold, bereft of comfort, each breath etched with the icy chill of the grave. We've walked in the soiled shoes of an addict, a once fragile life now ragged as torn cunt curtains, entwined in the twin hellfires of narcotics and flesh trade, a brutal harmony of survival and sin, each fucking hit a fleeting nirvana, each John a relinquishing of self. And fuck, did we see her torment, the inferno of a moment's decision, its embers igniting a blaze of fucking guilt that not even tears could quench. Our gaze then shifted to the abuser, a motherfucker whose hands dealt nothing but sorrow and bruises. We delved into the wreckage of his might, stripped bare to reveal a decrepit husk of a man. Laid fucking low by his cruelty, we saw his belated scramble for mercy, a mercy as slippery as a wet cunt, his tale a symphony of pain and plea, each note sharper than the last. In the gripping climax, a convergence aboard a damned plane, fate's twisted lives entwined, our wretched trio collided with destiny in skies that wept with tragedy. That they shared their final moments in a cataclysm beyond imagination is a fucking testament to the indiscriminate cruelty of this bastard world. Listeners, what a goddamn ride it's been. We laid bare the ugly pus-filled sores of humanity this night, each yarn spun with the rawest fibers of the heart. Fucked up? Yes, unforgettable, damn right. Yet within the tempest of shit within which our protagonist floundered, there's a fucked up kind of beauty, isn't there? Glimpses of redemption's dim light, however faint, flickering through the cracks in their broken spirits. Remember, dear listeners, even at the precipice of despair, with the dark licking at your heels, there's a chance, a motherfucking chance, to reach for absolution, to maybe find a peace that doesn't come drenched in another's blood. So keep that twisted flame alive, let it fucking burn through the despair and let it guide you through these godforsaken hours. Cling to the hope that rises like phoenix flames from the fucking ashes. Don't let the bastards of doubt and despair grind your spirit to dust. And with that, a parting kiss to lick your wounds after the teeth of tonight's terrors have had their fill. May you rise, motherfuckers, from the ashes of the tales we told, the stories of the damned you drank deep into your wretched, beautiful souls. This is Mona Hex signing off. Stay haunted, whore your heart to the night's call, and remember, the witching hour is always waiting, cunt clenched, ready to welcome you back into its fold. Farewell, boils and ghouls, until the witching hour strikes again.